I don't care how people look physically. I want you to be happy internally and accept who you are and love yourself, because then you can go accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. And again, maybe it is you want to be, you know, in a bodybuilding competition. Maybe you just want to be somewhat healthy, you know, however, so you can go to the swimming pool, or maybe you just want to be healthy so you can sit on your sofa and watch football, you know, whatever, right. Whatever your goal is, you know, I mean, some people's goal is to never eat pizza. Some other people's goal is to only eat it 3 times a week. Mm. And that's fine. You know, is to understand where we're at, understand that we all have different goals, and just learn to love ourselves in that moment. And I love to, when I first meet with somebody or talk to them, is tell them to describe themselves to me. And I just listen. And you start hearing the stuff they talk, you know, they say about themselves, and you write it down so you can hear what they're saying, because one, it's such a wrong perception than the person that's looking at them, you know? And so then though, it's understanding where their mind's at. So then I can really help them on this physical journey and then start teaching them differently, how then they can go back, you know, at certain times during the program and look themselves in the mirror and now say, describe yourself to me. Mm. And you start hearing so many things change, but a lot of what has changed is what they've done in their mind and their heart to believe in themselves.
Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. I hope you're having a fantastic week. Great conversation for you today. This is with Lindsay Turner. Lindsay is a jack of all trades. I met Lindsay a number of months ago because he has for a number of years been very involved with and given leadership to a nonprofit in Atlanta. But in the midst of that discussion, found out that he is passionate about fitness and is in fact moving most of his attention to the world of fitness. And how do you have health there? What does that look like? And if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that we're about quality of life. It's not just how do you get the most money in your bank account. That matters. It matters that you have financial health, but that financial health isn't some island. So often, I've said this before, but so often we think in our culture about health and about different parts of our lives being totally removed from the other. We have a very hard time thinking holistically and going, my financial health is just a part of my overall health. And my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, spiritual health, all these things fit together. My pastor at my church calls it a rule of life. Do you have a rule of life? Do you have health in all these different areas? How are you moving towards better quality? And I've met so many people that might walk in and actually have a lot of financial health, but they're miserable, right? So that's just a piece of the puzzle. So I want to talk to Lindsay about, well, how has the physical fitness side of your world, how has all this work on being a trainer, a coach, et cetera, how has that impacted your quality of life? What does that mean? Why is that so important? And he digs into that with me. We also talk some finances and things like that. But I think you'll enjoy him. If you want to find Lindsay after hearing this online, you can go to his website. His website is just lindseyturner.com. Lindsay Turner, one word, Lindsay with an E. So L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, Turner.com. Or on Instagram, it's just Lindsay L. Turner. So without further ado, this is Lindsay Turner. I hope you enjoy our discussion together. Amazed we're doing this because, okay, so literally a few days ago, I'm sitting with one of my longest, best clients, like a client I've had for years, who's done very well, so an influential, important person, and we're talking, and we've met dozens of times, and he looks across, he's 70 years old, and he looks at me, and he goes, Chris, you're putting on some weight, man. What are you going to do to change this? And I was just like, oh, man, you know, getting called out by my 70-year-old client that I need to change. And then he goes on to describe, you know, what I do is I go on these lengthy walks up this hill. And the first time I went, you know, it was really hard to do. But the more I did it, the easier it became. And maybe you should try something like that. Like, he's just basically like laying me out like, look, you're clearly not healthy. What are you going to do to change it? And I thought, this is really good that I'm meeting with Lindsay in like 3 days and he can instruct me in the ways of change here. Because it sounds like, I mean, again, I've known you a little bit. Last time we talked, you talked about fitness being a part of your life. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know the full scope of what you're doing now with this app, but it sounds truly fascinating to me. Did you come across, first of all, fitness was always a habit for you. I mean, this is a part of your life historically, or how big of a deal has this been for you prior to the last few weeks and months?
I wish I could say it has been a part of my life historically, but not so much. So for me, I mean, I grew up, you know, kind of, and I've kind of stopped saying this because it's such a negative thing, but I kind of grew up as the short fat kid. Sure. And I was named Lindsay. So yeah. That just iced the cake for me, right? So,
and, thanks, mom and dad. Thank you. Yeah, right.
I mean, and I don't know where they got that. My mom's side of the family's Italian, and I'm like, how about Vinny? Like, right. I'm the short fat kid named Vinny. Like, that's a whole different thing to deal with. But so, you know, throughout, and I was raised, my parents divorced before I was 2 years old. So I grew up with my mom and sister, and they're unbelievably awesome women, but obviously didn't teach me a whole lot about lifting weights and doing, you know, different things that I would think a lot of dads probably teach their sure. sons and that sort of stuff.
That's something
and
I do with my boys every other day. I give them physical fitness training and no, I'm sorry. That was meant to be a joke. But I have actually part of this story is that I do, I've been really inspired because of my kids that what I do actually really matters because if I'm not doing this, I'm the example that I'm giving to my kids is that this isn't something they should make a discipline in their life. And that's actually really impacted my desire to do it beyond the fact that older clients of mine are making fun of me. Those two things together. Yeah.
Right. Well, I thought, Chris, you looked great.
So thank you.
I'd say keep up with
it. I have a great body for radio. That's what we say, right?
There you go. Yeah. That's right. But so for me, you know, it was going through this, you know, just growing up as a kid, being bullied, and you deal with so many different things of that nature. I mean, I remember the first time, you know, in high school, I decided to take a weightlifting class thinking, oh, this will be my chance to figure out how this works. And of course, I'm in a class with a bunch of football players, and here I am the guy trying to bench press the bar. And here
totally.
Are these. So that just totally backfired. And then it was going through all this stuff, and it was, you know, I got into college and joined a fraternity, and that's probably where I saw like the biggest change because all of a sudden now I had all these male influences around me, and some of my fraternity brothers were much older than me, some were my age, but, you know, I started learning about the gym there and really got into it and really trying to figure out how to work out. And it was, you know, throughout probably my, I don't know, junior, senior year in college, had really just researched, you know, supplements to take, you know, proteins to take, you know, trying to understand the diet. Granted, 22 years old, understanding your diet is very different than now 38 years old, understanding your diet.
Sure.
So I don't know how much I really understood at 22 or if I was just a lucky 22-year-old with a high metabolism.
Okay.
But then it was for me what, you know, kind of what I noticed what was going on with me, and I didn't realize this until probably a few years ago, is I get in shape in college. I'm no longer the short, fat kid. I finally grew some. And you get certain validation, you know, from all these people and acceptance. And so I then, you know, I even found a journal that I had when I wrote when I was 22, and I wrote in it how I'd gotten in shape and I was never going to allow myself to become out of shape again.
Wow.
And unfortunately, though, with that, from 2005 to 2012, I had 5 different surgeries.
Yeah.
I had a gallbladder removed, my appendix removed, I had 2 shoulder surgeries and a hip surgery. And going through those, and every single one, for whatever reason, I just don't do well with surgeries. I had bad recoveries, you know, they would tell me it's outpatient, next thing you know, I'm in the hospital. And so just really struggled and would get out of shape during these time periods. Mm-hmm. And so I had worked extremely hard back around 2011, I think it was, and had gotten in really phenomenal shape. But it was amazing because I didn't realize I was in that kind of shape until later. And probably one of the toughest moments I've ever experienced is trying so hard to be in shape. And really what I was seeking was this outside validation from other people as, oh, life will be easier if I'm in shape. People will like me more. You'll be accepted. You'll be loved, whatever the case is. And it was here, you know, not understanding even the kind of shape that I was in. And it was my wife and I had gone on a trip to the beach with her family. And even I remember being on this trip and being like, oh, I don't want to take my shirt off on the beach. Oh, I'm not in good enough shape and all these things. And then it was a month after the trip and somebody had sent us a bunch of photos and I'm flipping through these photos and I'm like, Mel, who's this guy with the 6-pack on the beach talking to your dad? And then I realized that it's me. And it was almost just this
By the way, what you just said has never, ever happened to me ever. Like that. I got to pause. That description is like a dream. Like the, if I ever see a photo and go, man, who is that guy with the 6-pack on the beach? And then I have a realization hit me that it was actually me. That would be the end. Like I might die. I might pass out. Okay. I did have a similar experience. I remember, I get where you're going here because I also have always had, it's an image issue. It's how I view myself. It was funny because my son, was talking about this recently. My kids are both both young teenagers now. They're both in middle school. And one of them was saying to me how he wasn't comfortable with how he looked. And I remember thinking, one of the things I told him was, I so clearly remember the times in my life when I can look back now and see that I looked great, right? And especially comparative to now, I'm like, man, I looked amazing. But I remember feeling just as insecure then. And I told him, son, here's a crazy thing. Like, yes, we can do things to change how you look. Yes, you can make progress here. And we talked about that. But I also just said, look, there's a lot of people I know that look incredible. They're some of the most beautiful people I've ever met, you know, like physically, mentally, and yet they look in the mirror and they feel shame every time they look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they have a six pack on the beach, right, doesn't matter to them. Like, all they see is something negative. And I've totally had that experience too. But anyway, so I thought I'd jump in on your story, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, and it was, for me, it was that moment of realizing, like, oh my goodness, how have I been treating myself?
Yeah.
You know, here you're at this point. And whatever, you know, six pack, whatever, you know, it is. I mean, really means nothing in the end to me, but it was realizing, like, man, I just keep beating myself up. And, you know, I had achieved all these goals and I've been kicking my butt in the gym and doing all this stuff. And honestly, for just about every unhealthy reason you could think of, I mean, I wasn't.
And that it's not going to change, right?
Right.
Like, you could be Tom Cruise and still look in the mirror and go, I don't feel good about myself.
Right.
And it's something other than objective reality, right?
Right. And the tough thing too is being a guy, you don't hear a lot of guys talk about this.
No.
And but you don't hear a lot of guys talk about it until you talk about it. And it's so amazing to me how many people I have met, you know, how many men I have met, you know, through the gym world, through whatever places, and we get into a conversation and 30 seconds in, all of a sudden they're telling me how insecure they are, how they have confidence issues, and here they are, these great fit guys. But so going through that process, and I see this and I realize how it affected me, knowing that I was still beating up on myself. And then right after that, I had torn a ligament in my hip.
Wow.
And was in recovery for, I believe that one was about 8 months. I mean, it was tough. I mean, they had to reteach you how to walk. I mean, all these things. So I got completely out of shape in my mind. And kind of through that is I spent about 5 years just being like, all right, all these doctors now have told me, hey, you won't be able to do this again because of your shoulder. Now you can't do this because of your hip. And you believe that. You believe what you hear. And just slowly kind of digress to this point of being out of shape and just going through this monotonous whatever. I'll still go to the gym, you know, do this, do that.
Sure.
And it was interesting because I tell people, you know, when you go through these surgeries and you're on pain medicine for however long, and it's amazing just the, you know, I don't know any other way to say it, the dark places you kind of go. You know, you're laying on a bed that's downstairs because you can't even walk upstairs. You got some machine strapped to your leg, moving it around because you've had surgery. You're on these painkillers. You got all sorts of crazy thoughts going through your head. You're now realizing, man, I'm not going to be able to stay in shape. All these things that were giving me what I thought was validation, what I thought would be acceptance from the outside world was going away. And so I kind of really, you know, struggled with that and was going into these, you know, tough moments of just kind of dealing with, you know, my own stuff in that nature. And then also, you know, then you have life all around you too. And it's just, you know, all of a sudden things aren't going well. And it's just this whole, you know, snowball effect of all of a sudden stuff kind of crashing down on you. And I just remember getting so unhappy and so depressed and so, oh, I'm never going to be able to get back in shape. But it was still just having this thought process of, oh, I have to do this in order for people to accept me again, or my business isn't working because I'm not in shape.
Right. Okay. I want to pause you on that because what you just said, it goes to why we're even having this discussion. I mean, when you just said my business isn't working, that's a thought going through your head because I'm not in shape, is that people would ask, I promise you, people are thinking right now, why in the world is, you know, Chris talks about money all the time, it's financial stuff. And if they've never listened to anything else I've done besides our regular radio show, it's like, that's what we talk about a lot, right? But the purpose is quality of life. Mm-hmm. Money is one tool that leads towards quality of life, but it's one of many. And so often we segment things in our life and we tend to say, okay, well, this is this area and this is my personal life, and my business life, and my weight and my finances and my relationships and da da da. When in reality, one dramatically bleeds into the next. So I promise I didn't stage this. So I'm talking with a guy this morning, literally talking with a guy this morning. I'm not just saying that for the podcast. And we're sitting down over a breakfast meeting, and he's been losing all this weight. He's lost 25 pounds, right? He looks great. And I was like, man, you really look you look great. Like, what's going on? You know? And he's like, well, he had a business fail a few years ago, a business that he'd put his heart and soul into went under. And it kind of lost, and his business was a fitness business. Hmm. Okay. And he was in great shape a few years ago, and he kind of lost steam after that. Like, it was like everything crashed. So many things crashed around. Finances were crashing. His dream about the business was crashing. He then had to support his family and figure out what he was going to do and all this stuff. And in essence, in the midst of that, he just started eating out of control, which he had gotten away from for years. Right?
Right.
And so he gained all this weight. And then now I said, so what was the turning point for you? Like, what changed over the last 6 months to a year that you've been really now going a different path? And he said, you know, like, winning begets winning. Like, I made a plan for my business, for new business growth, and I achieved it. And suddenly our life began to turn around. And then I felt more confidence to pursue this too. And in his case, I don't know what came first, the chicken. I don't know if he started pursuing physical health and the other stuff, but the fact that it was inextricably linked with all of his life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, oh, one of his to-do lists is I have to check off fitness. It was that his struggles at work and some of his dreams struggling had caused a fitness crisis as well. Mm-hmm. And the flip side is also true, that as he pursued physical health, it gave him confidence in other areas of his life as well. And because it's holistic, right? And so if you're, you know, you told me, I don't know how, and I could be wrong with this, you've told me in the past about how you had pursued other careers and really had success in other things, and some of those didn't work out. I don't know about how much the timing of those are linked to what you're experiencing, what you're talking about with your health issues too, but I'm sure there is a holistic feel to all of life moving that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, and yeah. I think, you know, and for me, it was constantly seeking this outside validation. So whether it was through fitness, whether it was through money, whether it was through, oh, let's go get the cool job. I mean, I spent time, you know, managing bands and getting to do all this cool stuff with celebrities and be around these people.
Well, you were at Hugh Hefner's birthday party. I will not forget this story.
I was at Hugh Hefner's birthday party.
So just to say, you had achieved a level of being known and being successful that a lot of people would envy, right? I mean, that whether you want to say it or not, I'll say that for you. You had achieved that. And you can keep your story, but to say, yeah, I'll back up what you're saying from having talked to you. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, and it's even, you know, going through that experience that you bring up, is it's being at this, you're at this party, you're with all these celebrities. I mean, I'm standing in a room and I have Hugh Hefner on one side of me, Paris Hilton on the other, and all these other Playboy bunnies and celebrities and all this stuff. And I'll never forget it. And I've never revealed who the, you know, quasi celebrity was. And I still say I won't, just out of respect. But I remember looking at this one person, and she was sitting down, and she looked extremely miserable. Mm. And I remember my flight home the next day was sitting on the plane, and I had at one point, this was back with digital cameras, we didn't have our phones, I held up my digital camera, just took a picture, and it happened to capture this girl in this photo. And I just stared at it flying home, and I thought to myself, wow, all this stuff that I think is so important, all these things that I so want to achieve, this can't be what it's all about, because this person is absolutely miserable sitting here at, you know, the height of her career around all these people.
Right.
And it just hits you. And I feel like I was honestly very, very fortunate to realize that at the age that I did in that arena, in that field. My problem was that I'll call it a problem was. So then I say, okay, so that's not it. You don't have to be the celebrity. You don't have to be in the spotlight. That's not going to give you this validation. Well, then what does give you this validation? So you start, you know, exploring all these things. Oh, I need to go in the software business and let me make a bunch of money then and climb the corporate ladder. And then everybody will say, hey, who's this guy? You know, he's done all these things. But what you start realizing is, as you go through all these things, you go through all these changes physically. I had then, you know, had my own nonprofit organization, had my own for-profit organization, was trying all these things to get things to work. And it was, I was just in this, I don't know what you call it, a downward spiral of stuff not working. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, I've even said this before in a blog or whatever, but I really started losing my desire to want to get out of bed in the morning and want to live. And I was hurting all the time. My body was always in pain. And one night I'm talking to my wife and I said, you know what? I'm always hurting. I don't know why I'm hurting, but I just wish somebody could scan my body and tell me what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, some friend told me about this chiropractor. She sounds kind of a little unique, kind of a little different. I think I'm just going to go stop by this woman's office and see her the next day. And so I walk into this woman's office. This would have been 2 years ago. So in almost 3 years ago, it was back in 2015. I walk into her office, never met this woman before in my life. She has me lay down on her table, and she comes over and gives me the deepest stare I think anybody's ever looked at me, and then she puts her hand on my chest, and she says, I don't know what you're thinking about doing, but I'm going to ask you not to do it. Your body right now is screaming to me for help. And I look at this woman and fight back every tear I can and think, who in the world is this woman?
I don't know if I did respond.
And then she adjusted me. And then she says to me, hey, I have this friend who used to be a nurse. Now she does this thing called bioenergetic scanning. She could scan your body and tell you everything that's going on. And I'm sitting there like, I just literally said this the night before. And so, kind of long story short there, I go see this woman who does this scanning thing, and it's all like this natural stuff and vitamins, and here's things you should take. And this woman's saying
wow,
crazy things to me. You know, I kind of go in the mindset of whatever, this is such a gimmick, this is such a scam. I'm not telling this lady anything about me.
Sure.
I do her a little scan. The first thing she says is, what happened to your right shoulder? And I look at her and I said, I've had 2 shoulder surgeries. She goes, well, there's still some toxins in your body. And then she's going on and on through all this stuff and asking me things. She's like, okay, you know, you have a deficiency on this vitamin. We need to get you on this. And it was just these vitamins. And then where she really threw me off is she was like, hey, why don't you have a good relationship with your father? And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what is this scam? I just need some vitamin D.
It was like psychic and, friends.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it was a very crazy experience.
Holy cow.
And I called my wife and I said, look, I don't know what you call this stuff. I don't know if these ladies are psych. I don't know what this is, but I was like, this is, you know, a very unique thing. But so wow. I start this one, the chiropractor, she started offering different, I guess you can call them personal development classes. And I just thought, hey, I'm going to go take one of these classes, see what this is all about. And it was really these things of just learning how to kind of look within yourself and, you know, figure out, you know, different things about you. And honestly,
is it like mindfulness in the vein of mindfulness, or is it separate from, you know, I'm not deeply understanding, but I've learned a little bit about just the idea of meditating to understand, you know, yourself. And a lot of, you know, I'm from a Christian tradition where mindfulness is even being utilized more and more inside that tradition. So
right.
It's interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, I'd definitely say it's around, you know, some sort of meditation, sort of, but more just kind of looking at one of the words that she would use is kind of like your shadow. Like, what are the dark sides of you? You know, what's that inner child of you that's still in pain from whatever experience and for whatever things you've been through? And so, but it really started getting you through this, to this point where you learn to accept yourself, to forgive yourself for, you know, things that you've done. And I'm not saying, you know, you went out and robbed a bank when you were 16 and you haven't been able to forgive yourself, but deeper things. And one of the things she taught me was, hey, how have you talked to that little boy that's still living in you, who is that short fat kid, as you describe him, from high school? What have you said to him? You know, what are you angry about from those experiences? And so you start learning all this stuff, and I really feel like she got me to a point to where all of a sudden I had figured out, like, wow, I've been horrible to myself. I mean, this voice, you know, that's been in my head that I've always tried to figure out, who is this voice? What is it? You know, that says all these negative things. Well, finally I realized it was me. You know, it wasn't, you know, the devil on my shoulder. It wasn't all these things. No, this was me, grown Lindsay, beating up, you know, little Lindsay for all the things that he did or didn't do, or why weren't you better looking? Why didn't you work out sooner? Why'd you do this? You know,
and when you're a kid, it often is external voices. It often is the other kids in your class or your family or, you know, whoever it is speaking those things to you.
Right.
But then you're growing older and you're actually, to everyone else looking at you, it's the guy with a 6-pack on the beach, and you still are berating yourself.
Right. Right. And so it was interesting. So I'm going through all this, you know, learning all these different things about myself, reading a ton of different books that are out there, and just to try to, like, understand, you know, what is this world? What is our purpose? What are we here for? What is my responsibility while I'm here? And trying to realize that as long as I kept trying to seek validation outside of myself, nothing was ever going to be good enough. So whether that meant I thought I had to have a 6-figure job, that then that would make me, you know, important and good enough to everybody else, whether that meant I had to, you know, marry the hottest girl from the college, which I did, you know,
but well was, done, that, sir. Well
was
done.
That going to, you know, validate me or this sorts of thing, you know, whether I got into the best shape of my life. And it was learning that all these things are just temporary fixes. And as long as I was trying to seek validation outside of myself, what I eventually did was I forgot how to produce my own self-love. And once you get to that point is, nothing seems to work for you because you've basically said nothing inside of me is valuable enough to encourage myself or to validate myself. And so I had this realization. I will just say this, anything I say on this podcast, you know, even before this statement, is I'm not an expert on this. And I tell people all the time, as people come to me and they say, how have you figured all this stuff out? Or when you say this, you just really hit home with me. Or when you wrote this, you really hit home with me. As I said, look, to be honest with you, the stuff I post, the things I say, is because I'm still trying to figure out the answers myself.
Well, but you're an expert in your own experience.
Right.
That's the key, is that, you know, you might not claim to understand all of it, but you certainly understand what you've been through and what's worked for you. And what hasn't. And what you're saying, by the way, you know, if the core theme of what you've set up till now is that if you're not okay, you know, if you don't find a higher purpose or a higher meaning for yourself, then all these external things are never going to give you that purpose. That's like, you might as well just quote Ecclesiastes 1, right? Ecclesiastes 1 says, ancient wisdom proverb, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Everything's a chasing after the wind. And it basically is, in theory, the most successful person, one of the most successful on earth in the history of the world, Solomon, right? With every bit of riches you can imagine, and with you know, hundreds of wives, and everything that externally people would say, boy, this person's got it together. And it's him saying, all this seems meaningless to me. It's the girl sitting at Hugh Hefner's party, right? It's whoever that was. It's that part of human existence has been something humans have been thinking about and writing about and grappling with for thousands of years. It seems to be core to who we are. So I would affirm, I mean, it's fascinating to hear your journey of that. But
right. And I think, you know, we obviously live in a society that tells you everything different, you know, to this. And then even as you said, so many of us have all been wrestling with this and struggling with it and trying to figure it out. But then at the same time, then you walk out of here and it's like, oh, you don't drive a nice enough car to live in this area. You don't do this. And so I think
how is that possible that it is the same issue? I keep interrupting you because that way. It's the same issue for literally generations upon generations, that almost every human in history can identify with if they were willing to be honest. It just seems like a constant theme of I'm desperately trying to find the purpose of who I am through some sort of externally approved thing, right? And yet, why do I not feel full after that? That's what most religion is trying to answer, right? I mean, and yet, how is it that if all of us have that same thing, we still walk out and we still place so much emphasis on everything that we know won't be that. Not that those things, and again, not that you couldn't, if you have a different mindset, go beyond love being fit. I'm sure you're going to talk about that. Or love having wealth. And those things are great, but it comes back to that core purpose of what are they trying to fill up inside me?
Right. And I think when you talk about all the generations, what I think it really boils down to, and it's when people are willing to really get deep with themselves, and whether it's they have to go, I read something the other day that said the dark cave you're afraid to go into is where your treasure is. And
that's just Yoda, man. That's just Luke walking into the cave, baby. I learned that when I watched Star Wars. Yeah.
Right. But so many of us are so afraid to walk into the cave, right? And the truth of the matter is the reason this is a generational thing is because I believe most people have trouble loving themselves.
Sure.
And there's so many people, if I've asked them just a direct question of, hey, are you happy? It's amazing. Like when you can get alone with someone and just ask them that simple question, are you happy? I mean, that's a yes or no question. I've heard more people respond with, I don't know, than yes or no. And it's because whatever it is, we're just so afraid to love who we are and accept who we are and realize that it's perfectly perfect, you know, of what we are and what we've become and what we do. And so really for me, it's learning all this stuff. And then I felt once I got to this point where I realized, okay, you know, it's a work in progress, but I appreciate and love myself in a different way than I ever have. And I'm always scared to death to say that because I feel like whenever I say that, there's going to be some huge trial now that's going to like smack me in the face on my way home when I leave here.
You upset like the global scale of justice.
Right.
It's like, if I say I'm happy. Yeah, right. No,
now I got to get the other side to be like, oh, let's see, buddy. But it was realizing this, and it was May of last year, you know, I started getting back into the gym, but all of a sudden it was, you know, I'm hearing all these voices again of, well, you can't get back into the shape you were. You can't do this exercise. You're not going to be able to do that. And it was just, you know, going through this monotonous routine, you know, and definitely having zero confidence, you know, walking into the gym, trying to figure out what to do. You know, meanwhile, I'm in there with, you know, all sorts of different people who seemed much farther along than I was or had their routines. And it was learning about, and it sounds ridiculous to me, even as I say it, but it was learning about this workout app that is called the Transform app. It's by Chris and Heidi Powell, who are, I hate to just call them celebrity, but they are these, you know, celebrity fitness experts, and they had a television show, Extreme Weight Loss. And so I hear about this app. I feel like, hey, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm curious to see what this is. They gave you like a week free, you know, so I do it and I start doing it and I love it because it's got all these workouts planned for you and different things that you're supposed to do. So I'm a big believer of trying to eliminate as many decisions as I have to make in one day.
Yeah.
And if I can eliminate the decision of what am I going to do at the gym today? Hey, that's one thing I can check off the list that I don't need to worry about. So it's here on this app. But to me, what made it so different and unique is I didn't do all these movements that people do. I didn't do a whole lot of squatting. I never had done a deadlift before in my life until I started using this app. But what's great with it is you set up your profile and, you know, your weight, what your goals are, all these things. So then it even plans a nutrition thing for you and has all your calories and your macros taken care of. So you don't have to think about that. But then what I really loved about it is it would say, okay, I'm supposed to do whatever it is, 10 deadlifts, you know, in this one exercise. Well, I'd never done one. Well, they have these high quality videos of Chris Powell himself doing the deadlift, explaining what he's doing, why he's doing it. You can then read it. And when I first started using this app, I'd kind of be that weird guy in the corner, you know, like covering up my phone and I'm watching this video 10 times of him doing a deadlift.
Yeah.
Because I never had anybody show me how to do a deadlift and I was too afraid to go ask.
Totally.
The big
because,
dude.
Because also it's so intimidating when you walk into a gym.
Like, absolutely.
I've been to plenty of gyms. I usually walk in and smile and walk out, right? But I've been to plenty of gyms and worked out a decent amount over years. And it's like, even now I walk into a gym and there's this immediate reflexive self-consciousness, to me at least. And I know a lot of people feel that. And the reason they don't want to go to the gym, at least a lot of people I know, is because they don't want to walk in and feel judged.
Right.
Right? So it's tough to walk in. It's tough to feel like I want to do something different. I want to learn something new, but I don't feel like I want to go up to some rando and just say, hey, can you help me with this?
Right. And I think that's the, you know, one of the toughest things I've even thought about. I would love to set up a business where I take people to their gym and I go just walk them around and show them where stuff is. And
sure.
And not as an employee of the gym who's really trying to sell them
personal, you know, personal training classes.
Well, so I was just a normal user. There was actually, there's this one girl in the gym. She was always kind of in, you know, she was always in great shape. And I felt like one day I'm doing lat pull downs and I look over and she's doing lat pull downs. It's been a few weeks. And I'm like, where in the heck did this girl get so ripped? And why is she always on her phone? Like, that was my thing. And I was like, you know, but I'm sitting here thinking, all right, I'm some dude in the gym. I'm not about to go to this girl and be like, hey, you work out a lot, you know? So,
sure.
So then I was like, man, is she using an app? How is she figuring this out? Then we ended up on these one cable machines one day and we were right next to each other. So I just asked her real quick, hey, do you use a workout app? You know, you seem to make great progress in here. And I was like, I really don't think you're always texting. And so she's the one that introduced me.
I don't think you're always texting. Right.
She's the one that introduced me to the app. And then I just kind of, you know, jumped on board with it and thought it was so cool. And, you know, and they start you off so smart and you're doing these different things and then you're doing all these exercises that I've never done before. And then you're a part of this community that they have on Facebook in this private group. So I think right now there's 11,000 people in this group. So you're seeing all their profile pictures and their transformations and just the different things that they're doing. And so there's this really encouragement through it. But kind of for me in the way that my mind sees it goes, I start doing it. I start seeing a difference in myself. But more importantly, it was just gaining the confidence in the gym. You know, I could tell at first. I mean, I'll still have guys come up to me asking me, hey, what do you do? You know, what's your routine? I said, oh, I use this app. And right away, they're like, oh, I'm not using an app. And
sure.
I'm just like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, don't use an app. Go figure it out. Like, I'm not you know, too big enough to realize, hey, someone else has already figured this out and created it.
Yeah.
I just have to press start.
You know, I was a P90X guy. Like, when I was in bad, years ago, when I got to my worst weight and just feeling terrible, and I felt terrible. And I remember walking up the stairs one day. This is like almost a decade ago. Walking up the stairs and feeling winded at the top of the stairs. And at that point, I was like, okay, I am not nearly at the point in life where this should wind me. Like, I should not be exhausted walking upstairs, and this has gotten out of control. And I had no clue what to do. And so I ordered, that was back when P90X was the big thing and you still had a VCR. I don't know if it was DVDs or VCR, but I ordered the P90X set. I was just there in my living room stinking it up. It's like sweating all over the place, following Tony, whatever his name is. Is that his name?
I don't remember what his name
Tony
is.
Tony, I don't know.
Tony Thornton? Maybe. Sounds right.
Or is that a superhero? I'm not sure. Anyway, I was following this thing, and I was just, and it's exactly what you talked about, where I had no clue what to do, but I figured if they just tell me exactly what to do, then hopefully it works out, kind of a thing, right? And I had no other option at that point. And that was huge. And I did it for a few months and then never went back to it again. It was misery, but it totally got me started down the road. And then apparently, again, according to certain clients, I've gone back and regressed. So, but I totally get what you're talking about, where it's like you get to that point where you go, I'm no longer interested in, I'm not doing this for appearance. I'm not doing this so that you, other person in the gym, look at me and think I must be cool. I want to make a change. And they're helping. I have a community around me helping make this change now through this, you know, in this case, through an app.
Right. And my thing is now that I tell people is I have no problem if your motivation in the gym is you're trying to impress some girl or some guy.
Sure.
Or, you know, whatever it is. You're going to the beach. I love, though, personally, working with people who are still struggling with the aspect of they're not even sure if they love themselves, much less what they want to do physically. Because I feel like there's so much bigger of a thing with that. I tell people all the time, you know, if you have enough money, you can make your body look however you want to look. I mean, now they have more things that, even for guys, that you can go put in your body or do this or do that to get that physical appearance of what you're going for. And if people want to do that, there's no judgment here. That's totally their thing, and I'm totally fine with that. But I still so just believe, but if you don't love yourself first, if you can't even answer the question of are you happy, if, you know, you can't look into the mirror and smile back at yourself, if you can't say positive things about yourself, then there's so much more that we have to work on. And I feel like, as weird as it sounds, even through using this app and you start developing this confidence, and then they have this great feature on it called Life Lessons, where it's Chris and Heidi, and they can be 2 minutes, they could be 4 minutes, but it's these videos that pop up every few weeks and you get to watch them, and it tells you just different things. I mean, about having integrity, and it more talks about integrity in yourself, you know, about developing a good support system, about not quitting because we're all 3 feet from gold. So it's got all these great things that...
Well, in other words, you have a community around you that's doing the same thing.
Right.
And they're getting coaching in it.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you talk about what we do in financial planning, what we try to set up, it's the exact same thing, right? It's the concept of, because again, it's holistic. If the same principles that are at play in what you're talking about with fitness apply, you could take those same principles and go now across the board in all of your life, right? So in financial planning, often the reason people feel dead financially, feel depressed, which impacts everything else in their life, is because they don't know what to do. There's no clear steps to take, and they don't have a community around them that's excited about it, right? And if you can solve those things, suddenly you see dramatic change and impact, and it flows over in life. But your point you've been making is that you haven't loved yourself. How, and it doesn't sound like the app, you went from like abject depression to you're on the app and now you love yourself. But what role, I don't see the connection, what role has that played in you seemingly saying, I feel better about who I am? Or has it played a role in that? Like, in other words, where is that where did that shift happen? Was it in those classes with the chiropractor? Like, where was that shift begin to take place?
So, I mean, I feel like the first shift started taking place was with the chiropractor. And I feel like what I learned, though, through that was once I could love myself, I could, in a healthy fashion, go work on my physical self.
Okay.
So once I could develop this inner self-love, I could go appreciate my physical self and not be doing it for outside validation. And then as the app has come along, it's just been this motivational, this encouraging tool of realizing, like you said, there's a ton of people out here who are trying to do it. And whether it's somebody trying to lose, you know, 150 pounds, or it's somebody trying, you know, to lose 20 pounds, or it's somebody that's saying, hey, I just want to look good for my beach trip in a few weeks. You know, there's all sorts of different people that are using this. And so you get the support from that community. You get to read the different things that people are posting on that. And just as I've gone through it, what it really just helped me believe is I would read other people's struggles and could relate to them and could see this. And then I'd, you know, want to type something back to them and offer encouragement. And it was so interesting because as I was going through this and offering other people encouragement, all of a sudden I started realizing, man, all this stuff that I'm saying to these people is really what I wish I was saying to myself. And you hit this point when you're like, man, why is it that I can go encourage somebody else? Why is it that I can go say to somebody else, you know, whatever it is, you know, but yet I can't say that to myself. And so it was like going through this, you know, and not to be cheesy, but going through this transformation of all of a sudden realizing, man, this isn't just about me showing up at the gym and going over and bench pressing. There is such a deeper connection to this inner self-love and having good physical health all wrapped around together. So I feel like just as that has happened, you know, that's was kind of my motivation just to keep going. And it changes. You have different phases. I mean, I've never done the same workout twice, you know, almost really? Been on it for a year. Wow. So now I'm on, I don't know, phase five. It definitely gets harder and harder. I mean, there's some days when I'm cussing Chris, and I think people in the gym are like, man, who is this Chris guy that this guy keeps screaming at? But what's cool is, and in my own, you know, entrepreneurial spirit is, you know, one night after using the app for a few months, I'm sitting down writing all these notes down. My wife says, Melanie's like, what are you doing over there? And I was like, oh, I got all these ideas for this app. I got to figure out how to tell them. And she's like, you're crazy. How are you going to figure this out? And so I'm literally in my neighborhood walking my dog one evening, and I'm like, you know what? I need to find one of the co-founders on this app on Facebook. So I find this guy, and he had liked some post or something. So that's how I found him. And I was like, I should send him a message. And I'm like, oh man, I bet hundreds of people are sending him messages. I'm just going to make a short video while I'm walking my dog. So I literally hold my phone out, shoot this video, introduce myself, tell him some of the things that I've done in my life, said, hey, I have some ideas for this app. I'd love to chat with you.
You're an entrepreneur, sir.
Write to me
you
back.
Are born entrepreneur.
Well, I want to be one that makes money, but yeah. So far I'm just like an idea entrepreneur.
Don't we all? Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
So he writes me back and says, hey, we should chat. So I call.
You said Chris and Heidi.
This is Chris and Heidi.
He's
one of the co-founders.
Because I didn't tell you, I used to watch that show. Those shows were always fascinating. The Extreme Home Makeover and the Extreme Weight Loss. But those are both on ABC, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, I know who you're talking about, but anyway, go ahead.
So I talked to, his name is Sonny. So I talked to Sonny and we're talking. And I said, listen, I'm not asking for anything. I just have some ideas for this app. Only thing I'm asking that if you do put this in place, I get to use it. And so I start telling him my ideas, and he says, hey, man, you got to hold on a second. He's like, Chris is actually my next-door neighbor, and
what?
You're describing, like, his dream. We got to get them on the phone. So he goes over, and they're not home, so they don't get on the phone. But so Sonny and I talk and keep in touch a little bit, and I'm sharing all these different ideas that I probably won't share all on this thing yet because they're still kind of getting worked through.
But that's cool. That's amazing. Chris is my next-door neighbor. That's awesome.
Right. That was surprising. I wasn't ready for that. But so... You know, but so then I just stayed in touch with Sonny on a few different things. And then even the girl I had met at the gym who told me about the app, she was like, Chris and Heidi were kind of like her idols. And so I was just like, man, I should, you know, I'm going to ask Sonny if we'll get them to make a video for her. Just telling her, hey, keep up the good work. Thanks so much. And she had had a huge transformation. So it was incredible what she accomplished. But so Chris and Heidi make this cool video, text it over to me, so I can give it to this girl. And that was a really cool deal. And then... one day, Sonny writes me and says, hey, Chris wants to talk to you. He's going to give you a call sometime. And so
man, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was great. And Chris called me and it was hilarious because I was actually working out at the time. So he said, hey, just put me on speaker and I'll coach you through your workout. We didn't do that. But so I start talking to Chris, and I will say this, you talk to him and he was probably the most real, you know, celebrity that I ever talked to. Like Everything that he was saying was no different than what you've seen on the show. Very real person. I mean, living, you know, the same kind of life. We're all living the same kind of struggles, trying to figure out stuff with his business and all that sort of stuff. But so Chris and I, you know, talk about some different ideas, different things. And I just get extremely passionate. Probably, I mean, I might be tap dancing on the line of like annoying with it because it's something that I just really believe in, you know, with this app. And I just see so many things out there in this whole world of how to get people in shape. And I can just show my own experiences and tell people. But so I just really believe that when you follow the program, it works. And when you follow the nutrition, it works and all these things. But then I just love the support system behind it as well. So Chris and I have been in touch. We touch base every now and then. And then just little things were kind of happening. They wrote me one day and they said, hey, we're having just users of the app take over our Instagram page. We've done it a couple of times. You'll be the first guy. We want you just to take over the page and kind of be like the life of Lindsay.
Huh.
And first I'm kind of thinking like my life's really not that interesting, guys. Like I don't know what I'm going to put on this thing. But it ended up being a great day until, you know, probably the most I've ever put stuff on social media, kind of documented this day, made videos, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I posted when I did this takeover was a quote that somebody had said to me last December, and I was kind of struggling and going through some things and talking about the work I do and the nonprofit and serving others and all these things I was doing. And this friend says to me, he says, you know, Lindsay, if you save everyone around you but lose yourself, you miss the point. And he and I got into this really deep discussion about that. And so that was the last thing that I wrote, you know, when I took over their thing was I shared this quote and I shared this story and I did a video about it. And just telling all these people, you know, we have to remember, we got to take care of us first. And there's a reason why on airplanes they tell us to put on the oxygen mask
first. I was about to say, yeah, that's the best metaphor, right?
And we almost use that now in a cliche statement. And I love serving others. I mean, I've run a nonprofit organization for 10 and a half years. But what I realized is there's a difference in sacrifice and neglect.
Yeah.
And you have to be very, very careful with that because we can get twisted up in that. And so when I share that, though, with this group, is seeing the amount of people that all of a sudden came back and said, whoa, that's what I needed to hear today. Or, wow, nobody really cared about, oh, Lindsay's going to the gym now to do bicep curls, or Lindsay's eating, you know, right, yeah, turkey and broccoli for lunch. It was, man, Lindsay just shared this personal story and this quote that has motivated me. And then I couldn't believe the amount of guys that started sending me messages that were like, hey, you're just a real dude. You're not some gym junkie. You're not, you know, trying to mislead people. And I was like, look, man, the truth of the matter is I'm, you know, 2 years away from 40. I'd like to, you know, be healthy, and I'd like to feel somewhat confident if I take my shirt off at the swimming pool this summer. That is basically my fitness goal, you know. So, and I happen to enjoy the gym. I really do enjoy it. But so talking with Chris and talking with these guys and just seeing it, and so I take over the page, do that, so that's great. And then just a few weeks ago, they asked me to be an ambassador for their app. And so basically what that means is I'm helping promote it. I've kind of taken on the role as their motivational person. So they have this 11,000 member Facebook group. And so I will post different things to help keep people motivated, but also tell people, hey, if you're in a point, you know, if you're hit a plateau, if you're just getting started, maybe you had an injury, you're down to something and you need somebody to help you out, you can shoot me a message or post a comment. And it's amazing, you know, how much you're helping people, of just encouraging them. And all my stuff is based around, hey, you got to love yourself first. You know, and you read people's comments. I mean, I think one that really, really broke my heart in a way was a woman wrote this thing, how she was so mad at herself and just beating herself up. I mean, you're reading this because she had a handful of M&Ms. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, what are we doing to ourselves? You know, we're destroying ourselves over these little slip-ups. And, you know, this morning someone wrote something, you know, about how she went into her office room break room and there was chocolate and she feels like there's always this little devil on her shoulder telling her to eat it. And then she does. And then she beats herself up for the rest of the day and feels like a failure. And I know what these people are saying. And, you know, I may not be able to relate on all levels, but I can relate on my own level of where I've been and what I've done to myself. And so that's when, and you said it best too, when you said it earlier, is you can look at somebody who's 200 pounds overweight. You can look at somebody who's in perfect shape and they might be facing the same inner demons as one another.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk with you actually is because, look, there's a lot of good, there's a lot of solid fitness stuff out there for people that are willing to look and find it, right? But I think the number one thing, and again, I think it crosses from fitness to every area of our lives, the number one thing that keeps us static, that keeps us in the same place, is not having a clear path to walk. It's like, it's like, how do I get from where I am? Again, my world all the time is financial, right? But people are just asking, how do I go from where I am to where I want to be? And the funny thing is sometimes it's not extreme. Like, I love that these guys did the extreme weight loss, because you see these very extreme examples of that, right? But most of us don't live in that. Most of us live where we just go, I'm just not happy with it. Like, I wish it was different. But it's not necessarily I need to lose 400 pounds. Sometimes it is, right? But often it's not. And so then you go, well, how do I get from where I am forward? And what is that step to take? And I notice, at least, and you can tell me because I'm not in the fitness world, but I notice in the financial world for a lot of people, it's not a dramatic change. It's literally like, well, we need to tweak this, and we need to change a little bit about how you're doing it. And sometimes you're doing some of the right things, we just need to add to them. And there's these strategies you can take that would change it. And maybe it's not hours every day in the gym. Maybe it's a set amount of time, a few times a week. And, you know, and I've not used the apps yet, so I hope I'm not going against what it says, right?
No, you're good.
But the reality is, financially, I know for a lot of people, it's you can make real tangible progress way faster than you think you can by just having a community around you to do it. And so when I heard about what you're doing, it for me, it was like, man, that's where I'm at, physically at least. That's how I feel. Often what keeps me from having the life I want, where I'm eating healthier, where I'm working out more consistently, is just not feeling like I know what that next step is. But I also have learned enough to know that next step probably isn't as difficult as I make it out to be in my mind.
Right.
And I just need some, I need a little bit of community around me for that.
Well, and so interesting that you just said that. So one of the things that has scientific evidence around this is that our mind does not know the difference between what it experiences and what we tell it. And I had somebody one time say this to me, and then he says that, then he follows it up with, so Lindsay, why are you filling yours with so much crap? And it really makes you think, right? So whether you're talking about the financial world, whether you're talking about fitness, whether you're talking about your job, how many times do we go into these situations? I mean, how many, I could probably sit down with you and be like, oh, Chris, before I even walk in, I can't do it. I can't save money. I can't put money away. I can't, you know, you're already filling yourself with this. Or you walk into the gym. Oh, I can't lift this weight. I can't do this. I can't do that. Or you go to the job. I'm not going to get this job. I'm not.
Sure.
We fill our constantly head full of all this garbage. And it's hard. And I still catch myself sometimes doing it. I mean, yesterday, I'll use a gym story, as I'm sitting there trying to do dumbbell chest presses. And I'm trying to do the most weight I've ever done before.
Yeah.
And I was 5 pounds away, and this one guy comes over and says, no, you can do it. Let me grab them. I'll grab these dumbbells for you. Let me hand them. He's like, I know you can do it. I've already decided there's no way I'm doing
right
this. You know, I've
totally
already filled my mind with, I can't do it. And so we go for it, and I get like half a rep, and I'm like, man, I can't do it. And then, you know, to me what was cool is the guy was like, hey, another day. And that was it for him. And then I'm over there. I'm like, well, man, I just sat here for 30 seconds telling myself, You're not going to be able to do this. And so And that's such a simple example, but that's where I love simple examples that have huge impacts in my life. So I can take a simple example of the crap I said to myself while trying to dumbbell chest press, of how that affected me, and I can go apply that to the same reason of, well, hey, here's why your business has been struggling, Lindsay, because you keep saying that no one's going to do this. And so it's such a mindset, you know, with everything, and that's where I get so frustrated, but yet so passionate at the same time with people. And it's so much easier, right, to tell other people than it is sometimes yourself. But I just love it, you know, when I can encourage people, like, hey, don't walk in and start looking around right away and seeing, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger over there, who knows what he's doing to get like that.
Right.
And
yeah,
you're upset because you can't bench press what he can.
Yeah.
You know, let it go. And
well,
so.
Well, but isn't sometimes, too, it's just the feeling of, I'll use you as an example, right? You're a specimen of manhood. You're like a Greek god sitting across from me. So let's say that I go for me to reach whatever the goal is, I have to look like you, whoever you is, right? You just happen to be sitting here, but Arnold Schwarzenegger in the gym, right? And so the gulf between me and that thing that I think I need to be is so wide that it feels like I might as well not even step there. I see that financially all the time. People go, the gulf between where I am, I have debt, I haven't saved enough, right? And where I think I should be, and that's the key, is the should. Should is like the you know, language of Satan, right? Should kills, should destroys us, because should says, I'm supposed to be there, whatever there is. And it feels so widely different. Instead of going, what is the next step I have to take? And when people can shift their mindset, again, my world is a financial world. When people shift and go, oh, wow, I've paid off a credit card. You know, they thought where I have to be is all the debt's paid off and I've got $500,000 in the 401k and it's growing, right? That's where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not, right? And yet, if we can change that mindset to, you know what, we can't control what has happened the last 40 years of your life, 45, 50, or whatever it is. But what we can do is take the next step now, and how quickly can we gain momentum? And now I've paid off one card. I'm going to have six more cards to pay off. But that one card, I see victory, and it's like I can start making movement here. And it's amazing how quickly I can gain momentum. But if I'm looking at, well, this is what I should be totally debt-free, I should whatever it is, then I just sit in it, and I live in shame, and I live in regret, and I never take even one step because I'm like, it doesn't matter. If I take one step, I'm still miles away from where I'm supposed to be. And that just kills any progress, right?
Right.
And I live in that too. I totally hear you. I mean, I've totally lived there in so many areas of my life. And I see that the reality is it's like all good change is gradual, purposeful, slow change. It's never tomorrow I'm going to wake up and it's going to be okay.
And what you just said, I mean, it's amazing. You should just be called a financial coach, and I'll just be, a personal training coach, because everything you just said is exactly right. And it's funny, you have to be careful when you say this, but I used to have a saying that I would say is, don't should on me.
Yeah.
Was kind of my thing, you know.
Yeah.
You always got people
steal
tell,
that.
You know,
don't
you should
do
this,
me.
You should do that. You have to be careful with that, though. But it is exactly what you said. If you're looking at some other person's end goal, it's exactly what you said. Hey, take one step, you know? Hey, it's this one credit card that we're going to focus on. Hey, it's this 1 pound we're going to focus on. Hey, we just want to get you started. I just want you to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces of water. That's it. That's all you're going to do for the next week.
It's a lot of ounces for me. There's a lot of ounces well, to
then,
be drank.
And then
I'm all for it. All right.
I'll give you different ways to do it. Chris and Heidi have a 10 gulp thing where you, when you take a sip, you do 10 gulps and that it's amazing how quickly right. you'll get through water. But so something of like that, you know, try getting up and walking for 5 minutes, you know, so it's little things to help you. I mean, a woman the other day sent me a message saying that she was so depressed. She had kind of fallen off her workout wagon, wasn't sure how to get back in, you know, and she was listening to all these things, you know, going on in her life. And she said, you know, what should I do? And I said, I'll tell you what, tomorrow, why don't you just do half of one of the workouts?
Yeah.
Don't even try to accomplish the whole thing. We don't worry about the whole thing. Just do half of one. And if you can't do that, can you go outside and take a short walk for 10 minutes? And so she writes back and says, hey, no, that sounds good. I'm going to try that. So the next day she writes to me, hey, I did the whole workout. You know, and it's like you're giving somebody this small goal. You know, there are these smart goals that you're giving them. And that's what's important, you know, when you're meeting with somebody, when I'm meeting with somebody, is, hey, what's your goal? And don't worry about that person's goal over there. You know, and that's what I tell people all the time. And don't look at their glory without knowing the story behind it. Yeah. I mean, I get people now that,
oh man,
they'll say to me, oh man, you don't get it. You've always been lean. No, I haven't always been lean. Now we're going to go sit down and have a conversation. Let me go show you all these pictures. I mean, I've probably lost 150 pounds. It's just been at so many different times because I would have a surgery, I'd get out of shape. Then I'd, you know, get back in shape, have a surgery, get, you know, and so it went through this roller coaster. Mm. But you see people now as they just assume, oh, Lindsay's always just had it easy. You know, I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I wish I could say I always just had it easy, but then
but
you don't want to get on.
That plays into the should thing. It's like,
that's right.
I look at other people, I look at what I think I should be, and then I also sanitize their experience in my mind where I go, they must. So it's like, I should be that, and they must have it easy, or they must have a better metabolism, or they must, without knowing a thing about their actual reality, which is probably so not black and white, right?
Right.
And they might have a miserable life, and this is the only way that they try to feel good about themselves. And like you said, they're on the beach looking great, and they feel terrible. And right. I don't actually want to be them. I mean, I want their body. I don't want their mindset. Whatever it is, right? And that's just so dangerous to get outside of thinking through where am I at and what is that next step I can take instead of where should I be and why aren't I like everybody else around me, et cetera, right? That's interesting.
What is, Chris, so like when you advise somebody financially and they hit their goals, if you had to describe like a feeling or emotion or a word that they come back and tell you like, hey, I now feel blank.
There's confidence. That's the best word. I mean, when someone actually takes a step and sees actual traction happening, and I think I see this constantly financially, but I also see it just in regular relationships throughout my life, and I see it in myself. It literally just one little bit of victory, making movement. When there's true movement, and I go, I'm not where I was yesterday. I'm not where I was 2 months ago. I've actually made movement here. There's suddenly this renewed confidence that comes to mind. I laugh about it even physically, which is your world. But like for me, if I go work out one time or three times in a week, there is no difference really in my body that week. I mean, there might be an imperceptible difference, but looking at myself in the mirror, somehow I wake up and look at myself and I feel better about who I am. And not that I go, oh, I look way better, but just that I feel like I have a plan. I'm making movement. I feel confident now. And it impacts every part of my life then. It impacts the way I say hello to people. It impacts the way I do financial meetings with people because we aren't divided, right? There's a holistic idea of health that includes all parts of our life. So I don't know what your word would be, but my word is when people is that confidence creates, we go from living in shame and regret to living in confidence. And like, I can change. I have real hope here. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah, no. And I love the confidence. I feel like a lot of what I hear is freedom.
Sure.
You know, is once people get to a certain point. And it's just like you said, and how you said you could go work out, you know, one or three times, and maybe you're not seeing a huge change physically with the way you feel. And part of that is back to the whole integrity thing, is you told yourself you're going to do something and you did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and let's face it, as dudes, man, we can call up Atlas real quick in the mirror. I mean, I can get in there and flex, and all of a sudden, you know, I can look however I want to look sometimes, you know, and feel sure. like I can go do, you know, curl 10-pound dumbbells and feel like I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. But, you know, but there is just having this, you know, confidence around that and helping people, again, just to achieve the belief in themselves. I mean, and that's what I tell people is once, you know, you can look however you want to look, but if you don't believe in yourselves, it's going to be really hard to accomplish a lot of things and feel good at the end of it.
Because
and,
you feel stuck.
Right.
It's the confidence for me comes from the fact of proving to myself that I'm not actually stuck. because I feel so stuck in it, right? I feel stuck in debt. I feel stuck in physical inactivity or in just like, you know, I'm gaining weight, whatever it is. And it feels like there's no way out. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, there actually is movement here. And if there's a little bit of movement, then there could be a lot of movement over time, right?
Right.
Suddenly there's hope and there's confidence because I'm not actually stuck. And that for me is you can't put a price tag to the change in you when you go, wow, there's hope here. There's confidence for a renewed change. So,
right. Well, and so much of that. So part of now what I'm doing now, I'm doing this ambassador, role for the Transform app. They've actually just created a whole online coaching program now where they have three coaches. I'm really thinking that they need to hire me for their fourth one. So we're kind of pushing
we'll
that.
We'll let them know. Okay.
We'll let them know that. But so I'm starting to do some coaching just on my own on the side and working on that. But it's, you know, the big thing to teach people is patience, is trust the process and have patience. And I'm sure the same thing with you when you start telling somebody,
totally,
hey, you got to put this much away, but trust this process and you have to have patience. And that is the toughest part with people. And then sometimes it is amazing to me how we can let a machine that we stand on in the morning dictate whether or not we're going to have a good day or not. And so the whole weight thing, I used to weigh myself multiple times a day because, oh, it just had to be perfect. Now I might weigh myself once or twice a week because I just don't care. And I don't want to get up and, you know, whatever the case is, and all of a sudden the scale has moved the wrong direction, you know, a few numbers, and all of a sudden that's going to tell me whether or not I'm going to be in a good mood or a bad mood. And that stuff is ridiculous. And so we allow those things to haunt us, and we stick to these numbers that I try to tell people, hey, just start noticing how you're feeling, start noticing how your clothes are fitting. And somebody the other day, she wrote, oh, well, sometimes I weigh myself and I'm so much heavier. And I said, well, are you weighing yourself after your high carb days? Because part of the nutrition plan is you cycle high carb, low carb.
Right.
And she was. And I said, well, on high carb days, you have more carbs and your body's holding more water. Mm. So you're going to weigh more. After a high carb day, I can weigh 3 or 4 pounds heavier than I do after a low carb day.
Sure.
And all that is because there's more water in my body. And so you have to like put that into perspective and not let that be what discourages you, you know, through the process. And again, it's just this constant thing with me of just getting people to believe in themselves. I don't care how people look physically. I want you to be happy internally and accept who you are and love yourself, because then you can go accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. And again, maybe it is you want to be, you know, in a bodybuilding competition. Maybe you just want to be somewhat healthy, you know, however, so you can go to the swimming pool, or maybe you just want to be healthy so you can sit on your sofa and watch football, you know, whatever, right. Whatever your goal is, you know, I mean, some people's goal is to never eat pizza. Some other people's goal is to only eat it 3 times a week. Mm. And that's fine. You know, is to understand where we're at, understand that we all have different goals, and just learn to love ourselves in that moment. And I love to, when I first meet with somebody or talk to them, is tell them to describe themselves to me. And I just listen. And you start hearing the stuff they talk, you know, they say about themselves, and you write it down so you can hear what they're saying, because one, it's such a wrong perception than the person that's looking at them, you know? And so then though, it's understanding where their mind's at. So then I can really help them on this physical journey and then start teaching them differently, how then they can go back, you know, at certain times during the program and look themselves in the mirror and now say, describe yourself to me. Mm. And you start hearing so many things change, but a lot of what has changed is what they've done in their mind and their heart to believe in themselves. And I think for me, I don't know if you've seen the movie, The Greatest Showman.
You know, I haven't yet, though.
Oh,
like 18 people have been like, you need to go watch this. And I'll plan on it because I'm a sucker for musicals. But yes, go ahead.
So, and the music's not that bad. I was a little nervous, like, how much singing are we talking about?
No, I'm a fan.
Okay.
I was a thespian. I was a major musical guy back in the day. So
there you go. So I thought it was an incredible movie. But then I hear all these people talking about, oh, this is such a great movie about go achieve your dreams and all this sort of stuff. And my take on it, and this will die right after I say this since you haven't seen it, but so my take on it was, I don't know so much if it was a movie about a man trying to achieve his dream or if it was about a man chasing fulfillment. Hmm. And that for me is probably my greatest desire, and in a sense my greatest fear is, you know, my greatest desire is to get to a point to where I'm just 100% fulfilled, but not because of anything outside of myself, but just because of who I know I am and what I feel about myself and what I believe in myself and that sort of thing. So I have this vision of being this man sitting on a porch, on a rocking chair, just staring out into the countryside and being 100% fulfilled with just that. And, you know, I think that is where I would like to see a lot of people try to get to and try to achieve.
Man, that's awesome. So people are listening right now who maybe in multiple areas of their life don't feel that way, right? Because most of us, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, there's often parts of us that we go, we feel stuck. We feel like we're not fulfilled. We're not happy. If fitness is one of those areas for them, the reason I wanted to bring you on was specifically because it sounded like what you were doing was that kind of, we can give track to, you know, there's tracks to run on here. Like, we can put a community around you. We can get you involved in this and you can take a first step. You want to do that quickly. Give, where do they go? This is an app that they download, and how can they follow you in it? Like, how can they connect with you in the midst of all this?
Sure. Absolutely. So first, if they find me on Instagram, my handle is Lindsay L. Turner. Easy to find there. And there's even a link on my profile to the Transform app,
okay.
But they should also follow them on Instagram as well. And then they can, you know, they download the app. I mean, it's the Transform app, by Chris and Heidi Powell. So once they get the app, there's different plans they can select. I mean, you can do $15.99 a month. There's quarterly plans where it's $38 a quarter. Then they have a yearly plan. So it drops each time.
Okay.
If I could do it again, I would buy the year. And
sure,
just because of how long I've been doing it now. And then you get to be a part of this group on Facebook, and it's awesome because they have all sorts of different programs. I mean, if you're into CrossFit, there's a program for that. If you want to work out at home, my wife does Heidi's at home routine, and all it takes is we have a workout bench, we have some dumbbells and a stability ball, and my wife can do it all at home before she leaves for work in the morning. And so for me, who enjoys the gym environment, just the social aspect of it and going there and being around other people, is I do their physique program. They have one for men, one for women. And then what's great is they have this whole nutritional piece to where it plugs in. You tell it your weight, your height, what you're trying to achieve. And then they figure out, hey, here's how many calories you should have. I don't have to track anything, which is what I love.
I love the idea of things where, like you said earlier, guesswork is taken out. So you basically can plug in your scenario and they're going to give you pretty darn straightforward. Here is what you should be eating, et cetera.
Exactly. And what's great is they have all these recipes of, hey, here's what you can eat for dinner. And so you go onto the app and say, all right, I'm about to cook dinner. Here's the list of stuff I can eat, depending on what day it is. If you're on a low carb, high carb, you get a reset day where there's all this delicious, amazing stuff you can eat. And so it's just great how it works. And I keep telling people, stop making this difficult. It's $15 a month if you want to just do the monthly plan. Like, go do it. I promise it'll be amazing. And then if you need somebody, you know, you need that extra motivation, you need that coach to help you along, to reach out to for questions, to video chat with, whatever, is they can reach out to me directly for that as well.
And then we can get you hired as a fourth coach.
And then I can
be
hired as the fourth coach.
Like a popular upswell of people saying, I don't care who you've already hired. We're going to Lindsay.
To Lindsay.
And then, you know, Chris and Heidi left, just be like, all right, well, this guy is an integral part of what we're doing. I love the fact that you're doing this and you're not yet like a full-time employee of these people, because it shows your passion for what it is. And I need, I'm fascinated. My son and I have been working out together. And I love the idea of having something this straightforward for him as well. Is this something that if I'm doing it, can a teenage child also participate in this kind of a thing, or is it really only built for adults? What options?
No, he could totally do it. I mean, he could even do it with you. You know, you both are looking at whatever your workout is, and you adjust the weight, you know, to what to what he can lift, and then, or he can download it himself and have his own program for it. So there is a huge variety of people. I mean, there are people who are bikini model pros using this app because they're getting ready for a competition. They want to add muscle. Yep. There are people who might want to lose 200 pounds who are using this app. There are people such as myself who are just wanting to try to maintain and stay fit and keep mixing it up in the gym. And
so it tailors to where you're at.
Absolutely. You're at. And you start at different levels. So, you know, and then they do things. I mean, they have it, you know, my weeks right now, they're showing, you know, six different workouts, and then they'll tell you, look, you don't have to do all six, you know, but there's some people who do want to do all six. There's some who don't. So it's there for if you want to do it, but it is amazing. And kind of like you said, I get nothing for this right now. I mean, it's truly something that I believe in personally. And if I can use this platform to help other people, then I would love to do it.
No, that's neat. All right. Two questions for you, totally unrelated, or maybe not unrelated, but that I ask every guest, because I just think this is so interesting to me and I kind of nerd out about this. But the first is, and I gave you a little forward notice on it, but basically, when you were growing up, All right. So in your experience growing up, what did you see modeled about finances that has impacted how you relate to money today? Good or bad? All right. So positive or negative, what lessons did you learn about finances that are impacting how you treat money today still in some way?
Oh, so that's a good one. So my mom was the extreme saver. She was very, very smart with money and was very responsible with money. My father, on the other hand, was the extreme spender. Mm. And so, I mean, my mom, it would be we'd have one TV in the house. My dad, it would be, hey, I got five TVs in the house because I saw this one on sale at Sears,
sure,
you know, type of thing. And then my grandparents were very wealthy, but very miserable. Mm. I remember they would have all these, you know, nice car, nice boats, but it was all these rules, you know, you couldn't touch the car, you couldn't touch the boat, all this stuff. And so,
sure,
I think for me, how it's influenced me the most is I definitely lean more towards my mom's side.
Hmm.
And on that, on how I just look at how to be responsible with money. I mean, you can still definitely self-indulge and have some fun and do things, but be smart with it. I mean, growing up, my sister and I kind of joke about it now, but we didn't even know, you know, that we didn't have a lot of money. But, you know, birthdays, holidays, whatever, we went to the El Toro down the street for the $4.99, you know,
yes,
Speedy Gonzales meal.
Yeah.
And that was perfectly okay. And we were totally satisfied with that. And
okay,
so mom was just very smart. And also just looking at my mom now, you know, now that she is older and looking at, you know, the reward for her being fiscally smart and looking at my dad for his not such great reward for not being fiscally smart. So,
yeah. Okay. That makes good sense.
And then I would definitely say too, just even as I got older, going into the whole music business and being around celebrities and realizing money's not all that there is.
Well, you saw it played out. I mean, you saw the impact. All right. Other question is this, what are you investing in? Give me something you're investing in now that is giving you the most reward currently. That could be financial, it could be not financial, but what's something that you're investing in right now that you see is giving you the best reward?
I mean, clearly, Chris, that's my biceps.
Your
so
biceps.
No, I'm kidding. Sorry, that was
right,
the most narcissistic statement
that's
ever. That's not true. I would say right now, you know, I would say myself, my own personal development, my own, you know, figuring out everything that Lindsay is and figuring out what makes Lindsay tick, what makes them not tick, and just realizing the importance of having this continuous self-love to myself. So then I can do the other things that I do, such as serving others, you know, with my nonprofit and that sort of thing. But I would say that is probably giving me the greatest return right now on my investment, because without it, I wouldn't be able to coach these other people. Without it, I wouldn't be able to serve the families we serve in the nonprofit. And I think for so long, I looked at that very differently.
Well, that goes along. That certainly jives with what you've been talking about. I love getting responses to that just because there's such a wide variety of things and there's a lot of good places you could be investing. But maybe one thing, if there's one summing up what we've talked about today, one thing that I've heard from you consistently is just we're not investing in ourselves enough. We're not giving enough time to saying, am I healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, financially, like those, like so often we think it's noble in some way to be giving ourselves for everything around us. And then we there's nothing left,
right?
And we're not healthy. So I love that message. And I love what you're doing. I'm going to check it out. Not in some sort of weird promo way. I'm going to go because my son and I are right there, right in this process of going, how can we tangibly move forward here? So we'll check it out. And man, thank you for coming and giving us a few minutes.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks, Lindsay.